Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network, brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. We have an absolutely insanely loaded Wednesday show for you guys. Numbers have been great. The season has returned. We appreciate the support. Let's make tonight our best show before tomorrow's best show. Amen. We got a great one for you. We got Wednesday, so it's, of course, What If Wednesday on the channel. We also have teams / players who have the most to win / lose. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that segment tonight. We got Who's on Upset Alert, as you can tell by the title and graphic of today's video. We're going to aggravate some fan bases. We're going to put some folks on Upset Alert. I'm looking at you, Jordan Rogers. No, I'm just kidding. Friend of the show. We're going to rate predictions. We did our score predictions last night. We're going to tell you how confident we feel about those things. And, of course, we have underrated matchups to talk about tonight as well. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Make sure you like and subscribe and telling a friend. Expect to hit 106,000 subscribers before the end of the night show. Appreciate the growth from you guys, man. It's been awesome getting the season back in the swing of things. I am stoked for film studies next week. I hope those things go through the absolute roof and to the moon. I would imagine they do. Boys, I got breaking news.
Breaking news?
I got breaking news. And no, I'm not talking TROs. No, I'm not talking Lane Kiffin Vanity Fair quotes from 10 years ago. Nope. I'm talking show breaking news. I got a top 10. Starting the show tonight with a top 10. Top 10 things the ball watcher's watching this weekend. Things that I'm curious about. 10 things that I'm watching very closely in a decent week one slate, though most of these things I'm watching are going to be against tomato cans. And guess what, Jonathan? I got an OLI, too.
Well, you know, it's been a minute since you gave us an OLI, to be honest.
Oh, she's thick. I got an OLI twofold. Of course, I'm watching Cal-UCLA. I think that's going to be a really good football game that I'm excited about this weekend. Even got my Bruins stuff on tonight. I'm stoked for that in-state rivalry going on this weekend. Also, OLI, I'm going to watch that Kendall Browse offense with Lenore Sellers. I don't expect us to get too much of a run with the ones out there, but I'm very curious to see what that looks like. And we're not going to see Dylan Stewart, so does he have a wingmate? Does he have somebody that could actually get home even against some sloppies this weekend? I'll be paying close attention. Number 10, not even going to give you the option, Jonathan. I'm going 10-1.
Good, because wow. I was going to tell you to do it that way anyways.
Number 10, Oregon's offensive line. Expect them to start at least one true freshman, maybe two. I want to see this Maxi Anachor guy. I want to see this monster of a human being. Have you seen him?
He's big.
Oh, my God. He might be the biggest tackle in college football as an 18-year-old. I'm interested to see what he looks like. If he's got it. I think that's one of the rare five-star offensive linemen that comes into college. And it's like, you might need to trim some weight. Most of these guys have to put it on. I think he might be the other way around. That dude is a monster. Number 9, continue with the offensive line theme, Georgia's offensive line. We're going to talk a lot about this in the local. I think they have an opportunity to be one of the best in the nation. And I expect them to barrel roll Tennessee State's defensive line. That should be the bare minimum. Number 8, a lot of scuttlebutt about this Oklahoma offensive line during fall or offensive system during fall camp. Yeah. Very curious to see if anything has changed, right? Like, I remember, who were they playing first game of the year last year when we broke the tape on? And we still,
it was a bad football.
Yeah, it was one of the Illinois, one of the Easterns. It was a directional school. Mm-hmm. They were playing one of the FCS Southeasts. And I remember watching that going, yeah, I mean, Mateer lit it up from a box score standpoint, but hell, he should have thrown for 500 yards in this football game. Arbuckle had dudes running naked out there in that football game. Can he have no turndowns on tape this weekend, John Mateer? That is my challenge to the Mateer man. Number 7, also quarterback related and offensive related, playing Western Michigan, I believe, are the Michigan Wolverines.
Yes.
A rare not 35-point spread against the mid-majors this weekend up there with that in-state battle, I guess you could call that. I'll be watching Bryce Underwood. I'll be looking at, hey, what's the usage look like? Are you actually going to use this guy's legs? I know they got Oklahoma next week. I know they're probably going to get out of this with a big win and be very, very vanilla in that fashion because they do have a big non-con football game coming up. But I'll be paying close attention to see what Bryce Underwood looks like. Have we been far more diligent with our mechanics as a quarterback? That's something I'll be paying attention to. Jordan Palmer all over my timeline because my algorithm's loving me on Instagram right about now. Mm-hmm. It's all Jesus in football. Amen. And I see Jordan Palmer working with Bryce Underwood this offseason, and we're talking building blocks, Bubba. Mm. We're talking like walk speed type drills, trying to get this kid right because Lord knows he's plenty talented. Number six, I'll be paying attention to another tomato can getting thumped by the Indiana Hoosiers. I want to see Josh Hoover and Nick Marsh. We'll see what this looks like. I want to see if this guy, has the same capabilities that are required, same capabilities Fernando had from an accuracy standpoint to be very solid in this offensive system. I believe he does. I don't have any doubts about this. I would also say, like, no disrespect to Mr. Surratt, but I would think they've gotten an upgrade, at least outside the numbers. I know the slot receiver's gone this year as well. Wore number three last year. What was his name? Anybody remember?
Oh, gosh.
Omar Cooper, is that what you're talking about?
Omar Cooper. Maybe not as good in the slot, but I think they've gotten better outside the numbers, expecting some growth from Charlie Beckert, expecting Nick Marsh to be an absolute dude for the Hoosiers this year. Excited to see what they look like offensively. If I say I'm looking at this man's horsepower, who you think I'm talking about?
Julian Sain.
Oh, you cheated.
Yeah. A little bit, but I mean,
would not have guessed.
When I give you the answers pre-show, you got to play a little dumb during
but,
the show.
I mean, of all the quarterbacks that you would be talking about, is there, another one doesn't really come to mind anyways.
Yeah, everybody else got to learn how to dial it back a little bit, Bubba. Can we play with some feathered gas a little bit instead of sticking your foot in it all the time? I'm very curious to see, hey, this new weight that Julian Sain's playing at, apparently the ball, you can hear it whizzing by, so says his offensive line now.
Oh, is he throwing whistlers?
Oh, yeah, he's whistling Dixies. Yep, he's out there throwing scooter do's and scooter don'ts. Sounds like he's ripping the football throughout fall camp. Very interested to see what that looks like this weekend from a horsepower standpoint. Number four, little John David Baker special. You're looking at me like you don't know who that is. That would be Ole Miss's new offensive coordinator. For those of you who don't know, Ole Miss did hire a coach to be their offensive coordinator. I know everybody acts like they don't have anybody out there anymore because they're all coaching for LSU, but John David Baker also, I believe, scored like 36 points per game last year in the American Conference. All right? And you know how we feel around here, at least how I feel about the American Conference. That ain't no joke football league down there in the mid-majors. UNLV found out a little bit about that this past weekend, right?
Sure did.
I'm very curious to see what this Ole Miss offense looks like with John David Baker as the play caller and Joe Judge as the head coach of the offense. How about that? What's up?
It's just such a funny title, the head coach of the offense.
Right? I think it's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, Muschamp got DC and was told, I'm glad he could be the head coach of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like, but he didn't get titled head coach of the defense while not calling plays.
Right.
Yeah. Joe Judge is not calling plays, apparently, but is the head coach of the offense. Curious. Number three, we're going to talk about Keelan Russell at the top of this, but number three is a whole hell of a lot more important for me and everybody else on the microphone this offseason. Alabama's not just offensive line, but their run game as a whole. Have they changed schematically like I think they're going to? They were a duo football team the last 2 years. I don't think that's what they want to be. I think they want to be a stretch counter football team.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it's schematics. Like, I understand that stretch offers them some more opportunities to get outside and to maybe not as force yourself to be as physical, but is the execution better? Like, that's at the end of the day what it comes down to, and they have not executed well the last 2 years.
Mm-mm.
I was on recorded with Brandon Walker today. You'll see that tomorrow over on the Brandon Walker College Football Show. And he's been on this big rant since DeBoer's gotten there about, like, they just not very tough no more. They just lost their toughness. And I think if they run the ball relatively well this year, everybody's going to remove that thought process. I think that's all that is. If you can't run the football, people assume you're a bunch of sissy foots. But if you can run the football, no matter how you run the football, they don't care. Just have a box score at the end of it that doesn't say you got held to negative 3 yards rushing against Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
Or be able to stop the run. Because there were some instances last year where Alabama was getting
there were a couple dam breaks. I think there were three football games last year where they gave up over 175 yards on the ground. But really all that is the box score.
Yeah.
We question your toughness based off results, in my opinion, some of these times. And I'm very curious. I've been talking about it for 2 years now, it feels like, how DeBoer has felt very uncomfortable from a play calling standpoint because the offensive line personnel did not match what he wants it to be. They finally cleaned that room out, hopefully to the better for the Alabama fans listening today. I imagine schematically it will look a little bit different. Number two, I know they're playing, is it FIU? I think is who Florida's playing.
FAU.
FIU, AU. I always get them flip-flopped. Yeah, I know they're playing somebody that they should handle, but I'll be paying attention to that offense. I'll be paying attention to Aaron Filo, paying attention to the weapons. Does he have – he should have ample time against
FAU.
AU.
AU.
He should have
Atlanta.
Ample time against FAU down there in the swamp this weekend. Number one thing I'm watching this weekend, boys. First-year starting quarterbacks. There's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them all across college football. We got Kamario Taylor in his first real run as the guy. Obviously, Keelan Russell, Faison Brandon. Christopher Vezina will get a first-person look at. And, hell, maybe even Tate Reynolds. They're going to be starting some guys that ain't played a lot of football down there in Death Valley this weekend. I am watching those guys closely because I think a couple of them have stardoms written on them. I think a couple of these guys are going to be super freaks by the time we're done playing college football. Did I miss anything?
No. Which one of those starting quarterbacks making their first starts do you think is going to perform the best this week, if you had to predict?
Probably Faison Brandon.
I was about to say, probably Faison.
Yeah. ECU's defense, they're going to run around. They're going to play football. Furman? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know much. The Paladins?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at me. Play way too much NCAA growing up. Don't know if the Furman Paladins got enough speed to be standing in front of Mike Matthews and Braylon Staley.
Probably not. Probably not. Don't have much familiarity with this offense, if I had to guess.
No. I don't know. I feel like the wide choice is making its come arounds through college football. It used to be this air raid, like high tempo, Chip Kelly type offenses. I feel like everybody's dabbling in some wide choice if they're lesser than talented nowadays. But yeah, I don't watch a lot of mid-major football all that much because we're grinding this P4 stuff. But yeah, we'll see. And I said Faison because Josh Heupel will be doing this. We talked about it with Lincoln Riley last week, and he let up on San Jose State. I highly doubt he ever does that again, by the way. Mm-hmm. Heupel's one of these dudes that's going to score 65 in the first half.
Yes,
if he can.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it'll probably be Faison Brandon. Shout out to that list. Shout out to our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook. Whether it's rivalries, trash talk, bragging rights, it's all a part of this game of college football that we all love so much. But there's one thing college football fans can all agree on. Hard Rock Bet is easy, safe, and trusted with thousands of five-star reviews. You can back your favorite football team all season long, whether it be from the couch, hanging out at the tailgate, or even inside the stadium, especially for our friends down there in the state of Florida. Hard Rock Bet knows college football in Florida. They're Florida's only legal app to bet on college football, but you don't have to be in the state of Florida to join the party that Hard Rock Bet's got going on. They're also live in Arizona, Ohio, New Jersey, Indiana, Tennessee, Virginia, Illinois, Colorado, and Michigan, with more states on the way. And right now, listen up, right now, all customers, new and existing, can place a $5 bet to get $100 in bonus bets. That's right, $5 gets you $100 in bonus bets. So if you don't have the Hard Rock Bet app today, what are you doing? Head over to hardrock.bet/filmguy. That's hardrock.bet/filmguy. Get the party started on Hard Rock Bet today. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today. Please gamble responsibly. We appreciate the love over there from our friends at Hard Rock Bet. We also appreciate the love from Marcy Rian Knightley in the chat. She says, this is towards Brooks' security team when he's in LSU World. Hopefully I don't need one.
I didn't know that was such a dangerous place.
Oh, yeah.
We got some folks that I'm going to be protected by. I would imagine. I'm going to be traveling in a nice solid pack on Friday night, apparently. Don't know about Saturday because they might be a little busy. But I might slide over, hang out with Bussin, over there. I think Fred's is the place that they're at.
Yes.
Went by their studio yesterday while I was in Nashville. Good folks. Maybe hang out with those folks. But yeah, shout out to Marcy Ree in the chat. Apparently our number one on the leaderboard. Didn't even know we had a leaderboard. But yeah, y'all start competing with Marcy Ree. Good luck. Good luck running that one down. Teams with the most to win, teams and players with the most to win slash lose this weekend. What do you got?
The first team that I have on my list is Georgia Tech. This is a team that has gained a lot of momentum over the past couple of years under Brent Key. Fans are flocking towards Georgia Tech and the football fandom that they have now sparked up once again for themselves. But nothing I feel like would derail that more quickly than losing to Colorado in Atlanta.
My timeline has been rather in a drought without Georgia Tech optimism. Last year, I saw some takes where I'm like, so this is new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, this has been an off season of quietness on my timeline from Techies.
They kind of just appear when the season starts. That's not a slight to them. That's just, you know, just the nature of their families. But yeah, I mean, for as much as Colorado's kind of been a punching bag this off season, to lose to that team in week one would not be good.
Mm-mm. I got the layup of all layups in week one.
Who is it?
Every single mid-major football player has the bag opportunity of a lifetime this weekend. Do. Every single one of them, from Tennessee State to SEMO to whoever your favorite team is playing that they're supposed to beat by 45 points, especially quarterbacks. I am of a firm believer that Wisconsin gave Colton Joseph over $2 million because he had a decent game against Indiana. I'm a firm believer in that. Might even have sourced opinions on that. But I am a firm believer on the fact that if you're a mid-major football player playing this weekend, A, you probably going to leave with some bumps and some bruises, but you might leave with a little bit of tampering phone call in your inbox.
Yeah.
Right? There is a solid chance here that you might actually have a little comeuppance for you this weekend you have a solid performance.
These are definitely auditions for these types of guys. Like it's the best way to get eyes on you. So yeah.
Especially at premier positions where you don't need a lot of help. Like if you're an edge rusher.
Oh yeah.
Buddy, get home, get a bag.
Yep.
If you're a wide receiver, get open, get a bag. If you're a running back, do some magic, get a bag. Like there is a ton of opportunity for folks who can have a come up this weekend in their financial departments.
Absolutely.
Certainly. There's no better time for some of the most egregious overreactions in week one. Either, you know, you are winning the Heisman or you are absolute crap. I feel like Lenore Sellers is very much on the teetering side of either of these. If he comes out and he looks like, you know, the Lenore Sellers of old against Kent State, that hype train is going to be built right back up. Oh, Kendall Browell's fixed him. Everything's fine. Lenore Sellers for Heisman. If he comes out and looks kind of pedestrian, it's going to be he's a one-year wonder. He's washed. I can't believe we ever thought this guy was going to be the number one overall pick. So there's a lot riding on Saturday for Lenore Sellers, in my opinion.
South Carolina doesn't have a great history of starting off hot, at least under Shane Beamer. Like they had a lackadaisical performance against USC a couple of years ago. There was an Old Dominion performance mixed into that one. Virginia Tech last year.
Yeah.
It hasn't been great as far as week one matchups it goes for South Carolina.
I think Christopher Vezina's under a lot of pressure, and he could be a big winner or a big loser Saturday. It seems like they're itching to play Tate Reynolds, at least Dabo is. It seems like they're itching to play Tate Reynolds. So he can either go out there and put a sizable gap and make this his job, or he could be pulled and replaced midway through the second quarter. I have no earthly idea how this is going to go.
I just put Clemson as a team.
Yeah.
Like if Clemson beats LSU – I mean, obviously, there's going to be quite a few football fans that are going to be loving up on Clemson. Like, thank you for doing justice. Thank you for doing this for all of us. And then also, like, I think that would kind of open up some eyes of maybe we just didn't talk about Clemson enough. Maybe we weren't taking them seriously enough or vice versa. It could go either way.
Or maybe we have another scenario where both of these teams are bad.
We'll save that for later.
I want to – this is for me because I was the dumb that was tweeting out. I feel like we just watched two playoff teams last year. Hold those takes, Brooksy. I'm talking to you later when you watch this back. Hold those takes. Be careful, all right, because I was a little drunk on the Kool-Aid last year after that football game. You can't mistake good football game for two good football teams.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Especially in week one.
Definitely.
You got to be very careful about that. This is kind of silly, and I hope we have some Ole Miss fans in the chat here. I want to say this so I can gauge your leash on Pete Golding. What if Pete Golden loses? I don't know if it's what ifs later, but what if Pete Golden loses to Louisville to start the season?
That's a rough start.
And here's why I asked this. Because I think it would legitimately take like a 7-5 before Ole Miss fans were like, maybe we don't have the right guy. Because I think they are so in love with him because of loyalty, because of the way the other guy left, because of his likability, what he sounds like and looks like in front of a microphone, all that good stuff. But what if it just doesn't go that good?
Do you think they end up having regrets about just hiring Pete Golding, like not truly opening up
Jonathan,
the job?
I think this is one of those situations where they didn't have a chance. They didn't have an option. You had to promote now, and he beats Georgia, so you really didn't have a chance to go out and hire a new football coach. At that point in the hiring cycle, all the dudes were gone we want to hire a premier football coach. So I don't think there's any look back at like we made the wrong decision. They made the 100% the right decision at the time. But I think it would legitimately take like a 7-5 this year for them to be like, maybe we don't have the right guy.
Yeah. I mean, if they lose on Sunday, those questions will start being asked, I think, but they won't, you know, be banging their fist and like, get this guy out of here. I think a coach that absolutely could get this if he loses on Saturday is Matt Rhule, and they play Ohio. It's not a super difficult opponent, but we all think that this coaching staff, or at least his job, is hanging on by a thread right now. Year three was wildly disappointing. It has been a failure to launch so far at Nebraska. If things don't necessarily go well here, there's a lot to lose.
What did you think about Bradshaw's performance in that movie? Was very curious to see why Compton was like, I'm going to have to lock myself in a room during that 12 o'clock slate to watch Ohio versus Nebraska. But I guess that's just fandom.
Yeah.
That's just diehard fandom. Good on him. Did you get my failure to launch?
Yeah, it's a failure. I haven't seen that movie in years. But
yeah, Bradshaw comes out naked in the middle of it. Spoiler alert. I think he's naked.
Maybe it's been years since you've seen
it. It's funny because now he's envisioning Bradshaw naked right now. Tried to see if that was happening in the movie.
What do you got?
I think this is an interesting one. And I don't know if we've kind of tested the waters on this theory of Blaise Berlowitz. You know, any other college football program that had a five-star quarterback sitting on the bench, we would be talking about one interception, the fan base is going to go up in flames, talking about we need Jared Curtis. Jared Curtis needs to be the starter. That's all anybody would be talking about. With Vanderbilt, we've just kind of been like, well, from a money perspective, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but Blaise Berlowitz it is. Like, they're just going to let him sit. Maybe it's just because they don't have the right pieces yet, but Blaise Berlowitz might have a very short leash, at least with the fan base this weekend. So he's got a very short opportunity to win the fan base over or lose him quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be shocked if they're treating this week one game, which I believe is against Austin Peay.
Buddy, he could go light them up for 400 yards. They're still going to want Curtis.
Yeah,
it's Austin Peay. Do it against somebody.
It's more so the other side.
That's what it's going to be.
If it goes poorly.
Oh, yeah.
There's way more to lose than gain here. I think that you've got to have two or three performances for it to be really a gain. But
I think you have to go win an SEC game before Vandy fans that exist somewhere are like, no. This is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Curtis, wait your turn. This is the Blaze train. So I think it's going to take a little bit more than Austin Peay.
Yeah.
Another team or another player slash coach that's kind of their legacy, what their time with this school or in college football is kind of hanging on by a thread. They're underdogs this weekend, so you know if they can come out and shock the world, it bodes really well for them. DJ Lagway and Dave Aranda have a lot riding on the Auburn game. If it is not good for Lagway, if he looks like he has not even progressed or might even regress when he got to Baylor, I think he's going to be labeled as one of the more disappointing busts of the modern era of college football. Mm. Dave Aranda's probably on his way out if you have a sloppy performance of that game. On the flip side, you win that game and surprise an SEC team, things are going to be changing.
That's where I was going next. I have not seen Auburn fans love a football coach this much in a while.
Mm.
And now Alex Golish has done absolutely everything right this offseason. Everything from bringing the band in to his lip service to bringing veterans, guys that played there back to speak to the team. I think I saw a video of Kubelik out there said they had like over 400 former players come back to one practice.
Wow.
Just inviting everybody back, winning over a lot of people. Lose to Baylor this weekend. See how that goes.
Yeah.
Lose to Baylor this weekend. See how that goes. I don't think they will. I picked Auburn to win, but It'll get hot. It won't get hot, but it'll get loud really quickly with that fan base.
Auburn fans haven't been this high on a coach since the locker room speech clip of Hugh Freeze saying you owe them something was dropped. That was a
It's a damn shame that the homie Hugh Freeze is like on all the college football edits that I see now. Just like swipe.
Yeah, it's a good speech.
Oh, dude, he's known for good pregame speeches.
Yeah, it's a good.
Holler at his postgame press conference though. That's the problem.
Not good. Don't show those.
Is it fair to put Will Hammond on this list?
Man, Will Hammond's got enough doubters within his own building. Jonathan, you don't have to do it with that microphone.
That's not me doubting him. It's just me saying, like, is this game that important for him as far as winning people over or losing people that quickly? I don't know how much of a threat Thomas Castellanos is to taking his job or what Texas Tech fans think about Thomas Castellanos and if they think that he could end up being the answer for them at quarterback. But a week one performance for Will Hammond might dictate that direction rather quickly.
Yeah, no, I could absolutely see that of, you know, things are already kind of in a weird spot at Texas Tech. I mean, I think they very are much embracing the villain role. If Will Hammond comes out and he's kind of not great, they're going to want to move away from that as quickly as possible. So there could be an idea where Will Hammond's job is at stake in this week.
I guess maybe the conversation just would shift to what could have been with Brennan Sorsby. Like, that's more so where you're going there as a Texas Tech fan is, dang, we ended up with Will Hammond all because Brennan Sorsby couldn't follow the rules and was just a degenerate.
Yeah, certainly. A quarterback I have that I think could do themselves a lot of favors this weekend is Faison Brandon. I think that he probably doesn't have as much to lose. Maybe if it's just that bad, you have a lot to lose, but you could really get the, hey, Tennessee with Faison Brandon, watch out. They were overlooked all offseason. Now they're a real problem for people. So I have that.
What if Arch doesn't look all that good this weekend?
That's fair. He's got...
I mean, it's Texas State.
It happened last year.
I know. And that's why I'm kind of – and it wasn't all hunky-dory out of that beat during fall camp. And we know that beat.
Yes.
That beat is doing everything they can to love that football team and talk about them as if they are the Dallas Cowboys and they're fitting to run through everybody. It must have been relatively not so good for them to be like, hey, Arch has kind of struggled the last couple of scrimmages.
I would imagine that Steve Sarkisian is going to do everything in his power to make sure that that doesn't happen week.
We're going to establish the run this weekend. Like, I can promise you that.
Do as much scripting as you can to ensure that this game starts off the right way, that Arch Manning looks himself, or at least looks the way that people anticipate him to look this year, that the offense does, Muschamp's new defense. It's just firing on all cylinders. Like, I'm sure they're going to do everything that they can, but yeah, I mean, last year it didn't get off to a great start for them.
Yeah, I mean, Arch is one of these guys where they kind of, you're always kind of got a lot to lose, a lot to gain. Like, one good performance, one good highlight, it's Arch Manning's back. He's the key. Like, we saw this last year. Arch Manning had a few bad games to open the season. It was like, this guy sucks. He's a bust. Then obviously he has a few good plays or a few good games, and it's like, he's back. He's got it all together.
And for that reason, I mean, I'm not hating on Arch. I mean, he's my number two quarterback going into the season. I believe in this kid. But for that, what you just mentioned, he should be on this list every single weekend with the overreaction, underreaction.
Right, yeah.
He's either the greatest or the worst, the greatest or the worst, the greatest or the worst every single week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is no, oh, he's all right. It wasn't his fault or he wasn't the reason they won today. No. It's just 100% yay or nay. It's thumbs up, thumbs down, gladiator style every single weekend.
Yeah, and to no fault of his own.
None. It's all his last name. But you can't accept the $9 million Red Bull deal because your name's Manning and you play for Texas and then be like, why is everybody talking about me? You know, you can't have both ways, unfortunately. Y'all good?
Mm-hmm.
Who's on upset alert this weekend? And why is it Iowa State?
Iowa State?
Ooh, Iowa State's on upset alert, huh?
They are such a large favorite that our friends at Hard Rock Bet don't even have the line. But if you know anything about SEMO football, you know that they some tough SOBs. Did you see this offseason clip from SEMO?
I did not.
You haven't seen this?
Oh, but I think I do know what you're talking about.
This is the ACL drill.
Yes.
Yeah, ACL tear drill right here. Yeah. It's the one where they put two guys at an angle, and they have one ball carrier right in the middle of the two defenders. They're like 30 yards away, maybe. And they're just like, hey, go rock his shit. SEMO, going to be tough. Iowa State. I think at one point midway through the summer, they had 14 players on their roster. So good luck. Good luck.
That would be quite the upset.
And by the way, Simo, I already want to know. You know,
already got some momentum.
You know who's got a dub over Simo?
Who's that?
Your boy.
Well, they can't be that good.
Well, it was 10 years ago, Jonathan.
Oh, I thought you said.
Excuse me. Excuse me. It's 12 years ago. It's 12 years ago. 12
bad
years ago.
Omens remain, though, you know?
Yeah, that win's in sixth grade by now. So it's been a while.
I do not have Iowa State on my list. I do have Georgia Tech with a question mark. Not necessarily an upset because Georgia Tech is not ranked coming into this matchup, but they are 6.5-point favorites, and that's why I'm putting this one on my list, because 6.5-point favorites against Colorado, I don't expect much of Colorado this year. I don't think they're going to be very good. I think it's going to be very similar to how they were last year, which is unfortunate for Julian Lewis heading into his second year as a starting quarterback out there. But I don't know. I just something to keep an eye on, in my opinion.
Yeah, a team I have is the Auburn Tigers. I think that it's coming into this, there's always the most dangerous games are when you have two Power Four teams where the one game seems to be already kind of decided. Everyone is coming in this matchup with Baylor's not a very good football team. They're not going to win. I think Auburn could get surprised by a DJ Lagway who, let's be honest, is very talented, has a lot of traits, has shown that he can utilize those traits to beat good football teams. He did at Texas last year. So there's something there. So just be on alert if you're the Auburn Tigers.
Mr. Name Game, let me ask you if this one tickles your fancy.
Okay.
Bo Brungard.
That's solid. That's a good one.
I would have liked it better, Bo Beauregard.
Mm-hmm.
But Bo Brungard, Youngstown State starting quarterback. Watch out, Kentucky. Already 1-0 is Youngstown State. All right, already worked themselves into a lather as they come into Lexington, Kentucky. Bo Brungard, last week, Jonathan, 5 total touchdowns, 350 yards total offense.
All right.
Watch out. I'm just saying, 6 foot, 215, thicker than a Snicker. Dual threat. Watch out, Kentucky Wildcats.
I feel like you're almost morphing, unless it doesn't happen, into upset alert right now.
I mean, sorry, I'm not picking 6.5-point games. Maybe I should do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One of you guys, not going to name any names, picked a game that's like a 3.5-point spread. You want me to say Cal's on upset alert because UCLA's coming to town in a 1.5-point spread? Like, what are we doing here?
Okay, well, let me talk about it then. If you want to throw shade my way.
Give me some actual heat here, Jonathan.
I mean,
we're just doing sensationalist takes.
No, I'm doing is that what would actually be considered a upset. Like a they were a 5.5-point spread. Like, okay, like that's a 1-score spread. Like, who cares? I'm doing upsets.
Sorry that I want to be right. Okay. You know, I'm sorry that I want to try and be right this
weekend. Yeah, because people are really gonna hold your feet to the fire for saying Youngstown State might upset Kentucky.
Was it an upset when Indiana beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship last year?
No.
Was it an upset?
They were 15-0.
Was it an upset when, Alabama beat Georgia in Sanford Stadium?
No, it was a 3-point spread. What are we doing?
You don't consider that an upset?
No. Okay. Those are two blue blood programs. What are we doing?
Okay. The one that you're getting at right now is I have SMU on my list on upset alert because SMU is a ranked football team right now. And yes, the spread is 3.5 points, but I'm questioning why it's at 3.5 points. That would be my first thing of, I think that SMU is a better team, but obviously there's something to believe here of maybe that's not so possible. Maybe Kevin Jennings throws a couple turnovers. Things don't look very promising for Florida State. Like you're saying, like the version of Florida State you watched last week, if they were to beat SMU, who you believe that has the best quarterback in the conference outside of Darian Mensah, if they lose to Florida State, you don't think that's an upset?
No, I would look at it and go, oh, Vegas knew something.
See, I would say that there's Vegas upset.
Chats with me, by the way, so take this L right quick.
Well, I think that having a top 10 matchup and the lower ranked team wins, that's not an upset. But in my opinion, this would be an upset. This is an unranked team beating a ranked team.
There are Vegas upsets and there are public persona upsets. No one is expecting Florida State to win this game. No one is expecting Louisville to beat Ole Miss. No one is expecting LSU to lose to Clemson, even though that game is less than 2 touchdowns of a line.
I was wondering why pre-show you guys were like, oh, I got like 6 of these.
I only had 3.
Well, Kirby had like 6 of them. So okay. Keep feeding us.
I'd like to hear the rest of them.
By the way, just officially booked Shane Gillis for tomorrow.
That's good news. Nice.
So we'll see if he comes through. I think he should.
Good. Is he going to be like on this show or like just doing a hit with us earlier?
Huh?
Like pre-recorded hit with
us? Yeah, pre-recorded.
Okay, like what Jake Butt did, like he's on the show. Yeah, no.
It's a sliding scale.
I don't think Shane really wants to talk to you, to be honest.
Probably not.
You've really hurt his feelings.
Shane does not like me.
That is still one of my favorite things, where he's like defending his own high school team. I'm like, dude, you're the biggest comedian in the world. Who gives a damn?
Nobody cares about how good of a football
Nobody.
You
are. Nobody. Until they meet you, and then they're like, oh, wow, you're pretty big. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That is the end of, you play football. Like, you're the biggest comedian in the world. You're known more for your history takes than your football career.
It's true.
You know? Yeah, so, anyways.
I have LSU on upset alert. I think that in whatever the line is, I don't care. No one is giving Clemson a chance in this game. No one expects them to come out of Death Valley with a win. If Clemson were to do that, it would be an upset. And I think that it's a slim chance to happen, but there is a world where I could see, you know, things just going catastrophically wrong for Lane Kiffin in week one. They've had a lot of distractions. They're dealing with a lot of things right now. Maybe Christopher Vezina is actually that good. Maybe Dabo Swinney gets one of these, you know, they just catch teams. So I have LSU on upset alert.
Would that be an upset?
I mean, I think the line, if the line's north of 10, I'll give it to you.
This one is at 10.5 right now, isn't it?
So I'll give it to you.
Okay.
And also, like, if the unanimous, like, general vote of who's going to win this game is, like, over 75% mm-hmm. in your favor and you get beat, you just got upset.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the line is irrelevant in that case. If the public perception is you are going to lose this game, it doesn't matter if you're a 2-point underdog. It's still an upset.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Another team I have is UNLV. They are on the road at Hawaii. It's not as bad traveling with UNLV, but Dan Mullen, that offensive line, not great. Now, Hawaii obviously has its own problems, but just something to pay attention to. I have UNLV on upset alert. Final one I have is Vanderbilt versus Austin Peay. I feel like if they lose that game, I don't know how good Vanderbilt's going to be this year, but if there was a Power Four team that had some expectations coming into the season that lost in week one, I think it would probably be Vanderbilt. So I'm putting them on upset alert.
That would just tank all the Clark Lee stock. That's for sure.
Oof.
All right. We pissed a lot of people off in that upset alert, I would imagine. Let's love up on some folks. Who's going to be the most lovable team in college football? I'll start with anybody who LSU is playing.
It's a fair one.
That's a very fair one.
Good start.
Outside of the boot, they will be the favorite America's pick.
I will double that with you and say Texas Tech is in the same category.
Yeah, people
if
will
you
be
are playing
that
Texas
downfall.
Tech, people will be cheering for you. People will love you. Doesn't matter who you are. So those two teams, yeah, absolutely.
I have Mississippi State on this list. I think that a lot of people are going to fall in love with Kamario Taylor. I think people are going to be rooting for that team. And, you know, there's always one of these teams, and I think in every conference, where people don't see them really as a threat, and so they're therefore fun to root for, because more often than not in that scenario, they're also going to be looked at as a team that, hey, they might get you this weekend. They might get your team's rival this weekend. They play one another. Look out. Even though it's a 17-point spread or it's a 10-point spread, look out. Mississippi State might get you. I think Kamario Taylor and Mississippi State are going to be a very lovable football team this year, because they're going to be fun to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I had them on my list as well, and I think that you and I talked pre-show, and I gave them to you.
You guys aren't as big as sneakerheads as I am.
Mm-mm.
Do y'all remember Foamposites?
I do.
Have you seen this trend of these becoming cleats?
Really?
Yeah.
I could not imagine being a skill player wearing them damn moon shoes.
I mean, they did it with Air Force Ones and like...
Well, they did it with Jordan Ones, but I haven't seen a pair of Air Force Ones cleats.
I've seen, like, yeah, but I mean, maybe, but still, yeah, no. The basketball shoes... Yeah,
like, the idea that you're going to go out there and play a game of... Like, the idea of playing hoops in a pair of Foamposites, I was like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, I never understood the love for foams, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Sidetracked. Twitter doing it to me.
I guess because you guys were just talking about how people are going to be rooting against Texas Tech. So I also have these two teams on my list. I think a lot of people are going to be rooting for Houston this year in that conference. I also think a lot of people are going to be rooting for BYU. Those are the two teams that everybody's going to be looking at to dethrone Texas Tech from this conference, of keeping them out of the college football playoff, winning, like I said, winning that conference. So I have both of those teams.
I'll stay in the Big 12. This one's personal to me. I really like Kenny Dillingham. Every time I see him talk, I'm like, I like that guy. I'm not going to say the death words, but I really like that guy. Mm. I think he would be a guy that would be fun to be associated with.
Just got
to
fix the chain link fence in the stadium.
That's gross.
That's insane.
That's absolutely disgusting. the idea that we're like a high school field out there. We got friggin' chain link fences.
Got to cover it up somehow. Stadium.
We got to do something better than that.
Tough
luck. But yeah, I think I am rooting for the success of that Arizona State program and Kenny Dillingham, because I want loyalty to be rewarded. Of course, the next big job that comes available, I would imagine he's about. But I would imagine he's probably tired of begging for money. But yeah, I want to see them win.
I've got a team that I think is kind of a sneaky team that will kind of become a public's heartthrob this year. They're in a conference that there's already a big bad dog that no one really likes. It's a head coach that's kind of been cast out. If Virginia Tech starts winning games and Blacksburg starts really becoming, you know, one of those environments again, I think people are going to really start enjoying and cheering for James Franklin and Virginia Tech. Like, I could see them becoming the likable team in the ACC, akin to, oh, you know, we don't want Miami, we like Virginia Tech instead.
That's interesting. Like, do you think that part of the reason why people disliked James Franklin is just because he was the head coach at Penn State? Like, if he were to...
Honestly, I don't think people dislike James Franklin.
Yeah, no.
I think the only people that wore thin with James Franklin were Penn State fans. I don't know of anybody that was out here verbally attacking James Franklin for being a fraud.
That's true.
I think they were always like, oh, well, he can't win big games. Yeah. And it's like, well, buddy, he has the 11th ranked team playing the 4th ranked team. He's a 7-point dog this weekend.
Okay,
like,
so
who? Yeah, no, of course he didn't beat Ohio State.
Maybe it's like his shortcomings aren't harped on as much because he is at a school like Virginia Tech now, where, you know, the expectations aren't as high. So like, if James Franklin were to go into a matchup and he is the higher ranked team and he loses, people maybe aren't going to look at him as funny as they did when it happened at Penn State. Like, you see what I'm saying right now?
No, yeah, I totally agree. I could see that happening, absolutely. And by the way, like,
less of a magnifying glass.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Blacksburg is also such an underrated spot when it's great. Like Enter Sandman is one of the best traditions in college football, in my opinion. If you can get excitement around that program, I think people are going to really come around on the Hokies.
I love watching Bear Bogmeyer play football. I love watching BYU. I like Kalani Sitake. I'm a BYU Cougar fan. That's what I am.
Yeah.
Just everything about Bear Bogmeyer, too. Like the
same
fact
reason
that
I love watching Gunnar Stockton play football.
Like, and he wears 47, but it's not a gimmick. Like, he fits the mold of a quarterback that would wear 47. Like, that's how he plays football. He plays it like a middle linebacker.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
named Bear.
Everybody should be loving up on some Bear.
There's plenty of dogs named Bear, by the way. That's a popular dog name for big dogs.
Mm-hmm. My neighbors had a dog named Bear.
I have two teams that will be playing against one another this week, and I have Cal and UCLA. I think Coach Chesney is very likable. I think we've seen that throughout the offseason. He even got Bill Simmons to somewhat care about college football
for
a minute.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
A little crazy, and if you know anything about that, then you understand how huge that is. And then also, Cal, anytime you have a stud quarterback on a team that maybe isn't as good, and he's going to be in the late time slot a lot this offseason, or a lot this season, I would imagine – I think people are going to love some Cal Golden Bears this year.
I want to go last because I think I have the most lovable underdog story in the history of college football.
Okay, well, that was it for me.
I have two more. Army, everyone loves the troops.
Support the troops.
Shout out.
Layup for you.
Always,
right,
always a lovable team. So
hey, while we're at it, Air Force, we love you guys too. Support the troops.
Just love Army more.
Sure.
My dad was in the Army, had to. Florida State, and hear me out.
Oh.
I think this is
lovable loser.
Maybe, but also just like from a sympathy standpoint, I felt really sorry watching that game, seeing that stadium full of passionate fans, having to watch a bad football team, knowing that their athletic directors and their administration are not investing properly in this program.
Careful. Bowden's flip phone is about to let you know that they just spent $440 million on football facilities. Just be careful.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then that's...
Should have saved $60 million for a buyout.
No, if that's the case, then you've got an even bigger problem because you guys are trying and it's bad. Mm. So I want to see that fan base get a win. I want to see that fan base feel like they have had their fandom rewarded. I will be cheering for Florida State this year. I'm sure maybe other people will. I don't know, but I think they're going to be a lovable team this year.
The biggest underdog story in the history of college football, little old Alabama, and nobody believes in them. Ranked them 13th preseason. Just nobody believes the Tide can get it done. Everybody's calling them soft, bunch of weaklings. The Saban era is dead. DeBoer's the wrong guy. Lovable underdog, Alabama.
No.
Brother.
No.
I know.
This is what we saved for last.
I know.
That's like people being
this
like.
This is why I'm bad at trolling. I'm not good at it.
Man.
If you ever think I am, no. That was just a shit take that you heard. That's all. It was just a wrong take. I'm never going to be the guy that circles back and be like, oh, I was trolling. When I'm trolling, you know I'm trolling, and this doesn't go over very
well. That is the equivalent of L.A. Dodger fans when they lose one game and they think the sky is falling, and they're like, oh, my gosh, we're so bad. This is terrible. Meanwhile, they had the second-best record in the NL at the time. It's like, shut up. You've won the last two World Series. You have the highest payroll in all of the sport. Like,
shout out Navy. Shout out Navy.
The exact equivalent of this is when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl this year, and ESPN tried to spin like, man, how great of a story is this to get this organization from the ashes and bring them back to the Super Bowl? Like,
ooh,
that's, you got to be so happy for Patriots.
That was
like,
the,
no.
That was the peak of the Mike Vrabel offseason, amen? It was downhill from there. You know, Stanton family rehab during the draft.
Yes.
Oops.
I think we move on from that.
Yeah, got that. Rate the predictions. Let's do this because we got a lot left on tonight's show sheet. Let's be quick. Baylor versus Auburn. I picked Auburn. I give it a 2.69.
I picked Auburn to win 27-17. I put it at like a 3.7. I'm rather confident in this one, but I also want to give myself some room of error. Yeah.
I picked Auburn winning this game in a really big shootout, and I love the idea of it, and I hope that happens, but I'm not very confident that will be the case. I have it at a 2.
We should also probably explain this. We rank it 1 through 5, 5 being very confident, 1 being not confident at
let
all.
Let the newbies swim around.
No. We don't need to confuse anybody.
Let them swim around in unknowns.
Okay, we'll continue.
Wisconsin versus Notre Dame. I'm 100% positive, 5.0, 6.0 out of 5, that Notre Dame wins this game, about a 3.29 that they cover.
Yeah, I predicted it, Notre Dame 37, Wisconsin 17, and I'm at a 5 as well. I'm very confident that Notre Dame is not only going to win, but they're going to handle the Badgers.
Yeah, I have it at a 4.5. I think Wisconsin is just very outmatched here.
UCLA at Cal. I picked UCLA last night. I'm at a 0.25.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is my least confident game of the week. I picked Cal to win at 24-21, but I put it at like a flat 2. I'm not very confident in that pick.
Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, ladies and gentlemen. Got to get put in front of some new people.
Yeah, I have Cal winning this game. It would be my least confident prediction if I didn't predict one other. So I got this at a 1.5.
Louisville versus Ole Miss in the Music City Kickoff Classic. Is that a classic? Is this just a Music City Kickoff?
I think it's, yeah, I think it's,
or is
actually
it just
the,
in Music City?
It's actually the Liberty Mutual.
Who's
Music
playing
City
in the Duke's Mayo Kickoff this year? Anybody?
No clue.
Did that one go by the wayside?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh. Shout out Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Dukes is on a little something homegrown. I got Ole Miss winning this football game, but the line's shrinking. I'm less and less confident by the day. 1.89.
Yeah, you know, I have Ole Miss winning this game by 2 scores thanks to a late touchdown. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth matchup. I'm still fairly confident in that pick. I think this is bad beat territory. I have this at a 3.5.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident that Ole Miss is going to win. I predicted it 31-23. I'd probably put it a little low. I'd put it like a 3.7. I'm pretty confident Ole Miss is going to win this game.
SMU at Florida State, the Monday Night Classic. Florida State's been playing on Monday night week one forever, I feel like.
They did it with LSU a bunch, and then they
played Miami on Monday night 1 year, I felt like.
No. They did it with LSU like 2 years in a row,
and
that was a Sunday night, I believe.
Anyways, this line is straight up spooky.
Mm-hmm.
This is spooky territory. I picked SMU to win. I'll give it like a 1.69.
Yeah, nice. I had SMU winning 34-21. Not very confident in that one, considering what the line is. It's like a 1.8.
I have Florida State winning this game. I think that they were one of the teams that's going to shock the world and get the upset despite the line. I have this at a 1. I don't think anyone's really confident in what they picked in this game. Like, it's, I don't know. I feel bad.
All right, before we get to What If Wednesday, which is going to be you guys' segment, because I dumped my clip on top 10 things I'm watching this weekend, my show prep time. What are games that are not getting enough love, and why is it the Battle of Norfolk?
Which game is that?
We also didn't talk about LSU Clemson for rate the predictions.
LSU Clemson, I picked LSU. Give me a you can never be 100% confident in a Lane Kiffin football team, ever.
Valid.
And you'll learn this, LSU fans. Give me a 4.0, though. Oof. Sorry.
I have it at a 3.
Yeah, I put it at a flat 3. I had LSU winning.
Why is nobody talking about the Battle of Norfolk this weekend, huh?
The Battle of what?
See, these guys don't even know.
I would assume it's
these guys
Virginia.
Don't know ball. They don't know HBCU ball. They don't know ODU ball. Norfolk State and ODU are about 12 minutes from one another in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah.
And they're playing one another this weekend. That thing's going to be slam-packed.
You can get a screen shaker for this one. 42-point
spread. 42-point spread. The Monarchs are going to roll. But it's going to be a good little pregame hype.
I'll tell you the game that nobody is talking about, and it's a Friday night game. You want to talk about suspicious lines. I saw someone in chat bringing this up, so I'm going to dip back a little bit into one of my very lovable teams from last year. Toledo is visiting Michigan State
Ride
at 8 p.m. on Friday. Would you like to guess what the spread is on that game?
Michigan State minus 13.5.
Try 9.5.
Oof.
9.5 points is what Michigan State is favored by heading into this one.
Now, Jay, well, I do want to like warn you. We had a similar narrative going with this last year with Toledo when they were like a 10-point underdog against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very much on the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like the Evel Knievel rocket going over the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
I'm
you
fine.
All right? I need to check in.
No, I haven't brought up Toledo at all this year until
somebody
now.
Somebody call HR.
No,
I'm, call HR.
I'm not like you. I can let teams go. I know when to stop. Mm. You cannot.
Mm.
So look in the mirror, maybe.
I got a titillating matchup in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend. Oklahoma State, Eric Morris. Hey, good luck with them Tulsa boys.
A what matchup?
A titillating matchup.
All right.
It's a titillating matchup.
I'm not questioning that it's a word. I'm not questioning
that it's a word. And guess what? Oklahoma State got to go on the road to Tulsa. I don't know how far Cowboy land is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It can't be too far. I mean, state's pretty wide. But yeah, 13.5 point spread with our friends over at Hard Rock Bet with this Tulsa matchup between them and Oklahoma State. I think Trey Lamb, damn good ball coach.
That's a good one. I have UNLV and Hawaii as a matchup I don't think we're talking enough about. Like, everyone thinks that UNLV's college football playoff chances were tanked with that loss to Memphis. I don't know about that. I feel like this is a matchup where things can get weird. It's a 10 p.m. kick. It's at Hawaii. It's UNLV, Dan Mullen. If they lose this game, they are certainly not making the college football playoff this year.
Oh, buddy, it's cooked already.
It's not.
Go ahead.
It's not cooked yet.
Sorry.
But some interesting things taking place here. And by the way, it's going to be at the time of the day when it is one of the only football games on. It's not getting enough attention right now.
You know, Boise State plays Oregon this week. And the only reason why I bring it up and why it's probably not being talked about enough, even though we did a guess the line segment on it earlier in the week. I mean, most of the teams that P4 teams are playing this week are not like
tomato cans.
Yeah, they are. It's just a layup game. Hey, here's a nice easy one. Boise State, while they are not a P4 football team, they're one of the more formidable G6 programs, I would say. And Oregon is heavily favored, as they should be in this game, but just maybe something to keep an eye out on.
No chance. 0% chance Arkansas covers 40.5 points against North Alabama.
That is a crazy spread.
No chance. Zero. It's not an underrated matchup. It's not worth watching. But 0% chance. North Alabama beat Sanford last week, 22-10. Sanford, a pretty respectable, I know they're going through head coach changes, but a pretty respectable mid-major football program historically. North Alabama got into the FCS, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. 0% chance Arkansas covers that.
Is that just doubt in Arkansas more so than anything?
Dude, 40.5 points is something you give Ohio State when they're playing Ball State.
Yeah.
That is not something you give the Arkansas Razorbacks in the first game of Ryan Silverford.
Or Indiana playing North Texas.
Yes. That's a 40.5 point spread.
Arkansas,
this should not be.
Arkansas did do this to someone a year or two ago, though. They drummed
it was,
up
it. It was a HBCU team. It was Alabama State or somebody like that. Sam Pittman just slapped them around.
That's we got to make sure these numbers look as good as possible.
Yeah, we got to get Bobby Petrino trying to stack up them offensive points per game totals. That's all that was.
That's it for my list.
Colorado, Georgia Tech.
I think it's talked about.
Don't watch it. Watch us tomorrow night.
Amen. Or dual screen.
Dual screen. But Jonathan doesn't believe in dual screening. So how dare he even suggest that to you guys? You know?
I don't dual screen football games.
even stupider.
I never said that you couldn't do a YouTube show and a football game.
Hit me with some What If Wednesdays, boys.
What if both LSU and Ole Miss lose this weekend?
Oh.
What happens to the battle between these two fan bases? What would happen then?
Well, they get to infighting at that point. They stop throwing stones across the road and they start having, you know, some house calls.
Just save it for the regular season matchup.
Yeah.
If that happens, Big Ten fans, ACC, Big 12 fans are going to have a field day. That's the real outcome of this because, and that's why I'm just telling you. Like,
I know.
College football Twitter is going to be lambasted.
This would be funny, though, because like LSU is going to play on Saturday, so Ole Miss fans are going to be taking victory laps. They'd be like, you guys took Lane Kiffin from us and you lost against Clemson, and then they would get their humble pie on Sunday.
I mean, hell, Brian Kelly beat Clemson.
I actually want to see this now. I would love to.
It would be quite a turn on social media.
We'd see some deleted tweets from some burner accounts. Sure. That's for
good. Sure. Good. What if USC has another just empty stadium? It's a Fresno State game, but primetime kick, late at night, no excuse for the heat, no excuse for, oh, we got concerts and we've got the beach to go to and there's all this stuff. Like, I feel like all the excuses are going to be taken away. If we get another empty stadium from USC, I think that's going to just be...
Well, it's because of the opponent.
Those are just false narratives about that program, too. Mm-hmm. They don't know. They don't cover that football program. They don't know. Lincoln Riley has increased average attendance every single year.
Here's what I'll say.
So says Lincoln Riley in their in-house department stats.
Here's what I'll say about this, though. Lincoln Riley is not in a position to critique fan attendance.
No.
Right,
he
now.
Can't.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand Lincoln Riley coming up and be like, nah, you don't understand. Like, attendance is good. We're happy with what we're like, USC is the place to be. Like, the head coach who's been there 5 years and hasn't won anything and might get fired this year if he doesn't perform well can't come out and say, yeah, we need the fans to show up more. They're not doing their job. So,
well, 31 concert venues, a lot of concerts at night, so that's where they'll be.
Yeah, well, either way.
Now, we talked about this earlier.
I'm surprised comedy halls didn't get brought up, too. Mm. A lot of comedy clubs out there.
Yeah.
A lot of podcast hosts.
You brought this up a little bit earlier, but I want to dive into this a little bit more. What if LSU and Clemson is a rock fight like it was last year? It's a close football game. Seems like it's just two good football teams facing off against one another. Does that steer the narrative more for Clemson, or does it steer the narrative more for LSU? Like, let's say LSU still wins the game, but the final score is like 20-17.
I think just more positive talk about Clemson's defense than anything.
I think it's going to be an opportunity for everyone to sell their Sam Levitt stock.
That too.
I think that's what the takeaway. I think whatever happens in this
if
game.
If you got it, I don't.
Well, yeah, I think whatever happens in this game, the takeaways are going to be more about LSU than anything. Like, people are kind of already, we know what Dabo Swinney is. We know what Clemson is. It's a sinking ship. We want to see what LSU is about. So I think that's what you're going to get there. What if Davis Warren just dots up the Miami Hurricanes? They don't have to win. They don't have to win this game, but we get another, 250, 300 yard performance.
What does Bryce Underwood do on Saturday?
Ooh, that's a good
tremendous question. That is a tremendous question.
That's a really good question.
Boy, we spent all this money on Bryce Underwood. Meanwhile, Davis Warren,
walk-on.
We just had the wrong offense. Look at this guy. We just didn't have the pieces for Davis Warren.
Final one I have is what if Colorado and Georgia Tech is a really close football game?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it could be. That's what Hard Rock Bet thinks. That's what Vegas thinks right now, is that this game is going to be a one-score football game.
Who's that more an indictment on, Georgia Tech, or is that, man, Colorado is better than we thought?
I mean, I've said it before. I don't have high expectations for Georgia Tech this year. I don't have high expectations for Colorado. I would just kind of chop it up to two not very good football teams matched up against one another.
Just some week one slop where the two
teams. You know.
That's fair. What other one do you have?
My final one. What if Faison Brandon lights it up and is the best of the first year starting quarterbacks? Which I know it's Furman. Yeah, I understand all of that.
That'll be the reaction.
I know.
What I will keep Aaron Murray from doing is tweeting out a video like he did about Nico the time he lit Kent State's ass up for 77 points. It's like that. I think that this is the one and only time Nico during his time at Tennessee got to a backside read. Like the only time.
There was a lot of excitement around Nico. I remember.
Yeah, so just be careful.
I remember the national media was very excited. And I think we also had some, we were not, bullish on him, but we were, hey, this will work at Tennessee. He's got a running ability. He's got a strong arm. Like, I think we broke down the Iowa game and were very impressed with it. So, I mean,
we were.
I get it. I don't think we'll be reacting quite as heavily and going, my God, Faison Brand's a Heisman winner. But,
well, that was my last one.
That's all I got as well.
All right. Let's go to the local hour. Somebody just lost $5 in the chat.
I think it was $100.
Somebody just lost $100 in the chat. Let's go to the local hour.